All right, good evening. My voice is hoarse, but it's a good horse, right? Because I was at camp all week and just had an awesome time screaming, yelling. I was a speaker, but I don't want to be just hiding in my cabin and just coming out just to do speaking and then come out. So I was with the kids a lot in the activities, and I got a little too excited during volleyball. So, but every team I played for in volleyball won. So it was all worth it. It was all worth it. But this was actually my first full camp at Mountaintop. I've never done a camp before, and it was absolute blast. I just had a really good piece about speaking, and then even going up there and during the whole time, it was not a stressful week, but it was just fun, and had really good conversations with some of the young people. A lot of broken kids, a lot of broken homes, some tough situations. Your heart just breaks for them. Even had one young girl that tried to take her life a few weeks ago, and she was there, and she was just so encouraged. She was so built up. You just never know where these kids are coming from. A lot of kids dealing with anxiety and depression. You wouldn't think, they're so young at junior teens, that they were on so many medications, but we had quite a few. And then, not to start off with a downer, but just want to let you know about our week and how awesome it was. But we were having an awesome week in like Wednesday, and you could be praying for Ashley and Francis. Ashley's first time at camp, having a blast all day, but in the morning, the leaders found out that her good friend or either her boyfriend just died on the football practice field. Just like that. Just, I think he had some infection in his body and just passed. So the parents came up to tell her, and it was just a broken, it was a real tough situation on Wednesday, but it was a good time to pray with the families and just minister. And then I used it. I used it as an illustration with the kids, saying you never know when the Lord will return or when the Lord will take you, right? So live your life the way the Lord is calling us to live. And that's what kind of my theme in the next few weeks, kind of taking this and going a little deeper, going for the gold. The going for the gold was the theme. For Junior Team Week, it was just a beautiful week, the whole week, great weather, some really crazy games. We had some really awesome times. We did rappelling. That's the hydro tube. Has anyone ever done the hydro tube? Oh my goodness, one of the best annoying activities out there. It was the kids, I mean, it was just so tough, but it talked, had a lot of lessons about perseverance, endurance, teamwork. So it was a great, those are some great activities. These are just some of the kids you could be praying for. They just had a lot of good kids that come, right, with really outer shell on. You know how they come with their outer shell and big and bad or whatever it may be. But then as the Lord works, touches their heart, you speak to them. And multiple times after the night sessions, we had kids stay back. Recommit their lives. One kid, he was just a father. His father is in prison in Mexico. And he kind of wrote him off and said, I don't need him. And then when the Lord grabs your heart, he broke him and said, I miss my dad. And so it was a good week. A lot of recommitments and just great, great times. So awesome just time of getting together. A lot of awesome leaders here throughout. Erica and Israel. This is Erica. This is Israel. They're from Emmaus, and they conducted the week. And these are the leaders all from up there. You can see Danielle, Jonathan's sisters there. So a whole bunch of good, what a good group. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for just praying for the whole thing. I really felt the Lord leading in all the messages and stuff. So I want to just to take this same theme. It's a great theme, something that I really enjoyed studying, and I pray that it would speak to your hearts as well. Going for the gold, having a purpose in life, having a vision, In Proverbs it says, where there's no vision, the people perish, right? Where there's no motive, what are our motives when we live this life? So I want to think about a little deeper this kind of mentality of going for the gold. What does it mean? 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. What is that it? What is that prize? What is that thing that we're called to run towards, right? If we know the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, placed our faith in Christ, that's it? Is that all? Is that all we have in life? Is that all that we're to do? Oh yeah, I know I need to share the gospel. I need to be a part of a church. But is that it? I think Paul had a mindset, and he was getting the believers of different churches to think about this life we live as not some kind of sprint where we fall many times and then just dust off and get up. But run like there's a marathon, run with a passion, run with a purpose, that we live our lives accordingly with this mindset of the gold. Running for the gold, going for the gold, and specifically I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's going to be our main, centered around these passages. So this is kind of an introduction message to a series that's coming up. But going for the gold, I'm going to be talking about motives of life. Are our motives, priorities, our goals in life in order so that God is fully being glorified in everything? Are we running the right marathon? Are we running the right race to obtain the prize? Not a supposed prize that we may have in our minds, but the prize that God is talking about in His living word. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-10. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4, for we are in this tent groan. For in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We're going to also talk in this series about the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse 9 and 10 is the crux of the theme here. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your help now. We ask for your leading as we look into your word. May you bless us. May we have understanding that we may apply it to our lives. What is this race, Lord? What is this eternal perspective that we are supposed to have, Lord, that we may be encouraged, that we may walk accordingly, holy and blameless, according to your word, Lord, in that even when we mess up, Lord, that we can ask you for forgiveness and have a corrected state of mind to live our lives gloriously for thy name. Lord, I ask you for your leading. Help us to understand this weighty topic. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, that verse, therefore, with all this in mind, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Well-pleasing to Him, not just, oh, He's good compared to my brother next to me, or He's good compared to my sister next to me. But well-pleasing to Him, what does that mean? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we know this is what's called the Bema. Okay, so I'm going to define some of these terms, and I pray it makes sense to you all. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. There's four questions I want us to answer, and I'm going to go into these four questions. What is the race? What is the race Paul is referring to? What is this mindset that Paul is asking us to understand? What are the elements to a race? I think that's a good illustration that Paul used to help us understand if we're in this race, and you can see this thing is kind of centered around the Olympics, right? We have Rio, the 2016 Olympics coming up. I pray, despite maybe the economy and the Zika virus, that it does take place. I don't know. But this Olympic, this race, this marathon, it's a good illustration of how believers should passionately train and order their lives to live as running for this race to obtain this prize. And we're going to look at what is this prize. My question is, have you begun the race? Have you even thought about it? Have you had a mindset to think of it in the way Paul is talking about? And if so, how are you doing? And then are you ready to face the Bema? Are you ready to face this evaluation of our lives as believers in regards to this? Because Paul's thinking, do you have this motive? Do you have this idea that you will stand before Christ and be held accountable for everything done in the body? Intents, deeds, actions, motives, intents of the heart. All will be seen, right? So Paul is getting us a mindset. Are you ready? Are you ready? And I pray this would be something very impactful for Western Wake here. What is the race Paul is referring to? And this may seem simple, but when I did it at camp, man, I couldn't believe the amount of questions I got. What is this race Paul is referring to? If you have your Bibles with me, turn with Psalms 139. We're going to look at a few verses here. 139, verse 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. At birth, God has beautifully formed us, and he knitted us together. God formed us, but we have to understand the story of the world, right? The story of the world, because of Adam and Eve and sin, we are born into sin, right? It's a determined life. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These are definite statements. So we have to understand Paul's distinction of race. Who is he speaking to? Who is taking part in this race? Well, he's not talking to those that are destined for hell. Those destined to be separated eternally from God. Okay, this is the main point. I kind of dwelt in this for a second. We are born destined and condemned, right, in damnation. Until God has given us a glorious message, right? We have the glorious message of the gospel message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave so that we may have eternal redemption. Eternal redemption, but that's the choice. That's the mindset that we have to understand, that the race that Paul is referring to are those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Guys, immediately there's a distinction, right? A clear distinction. I had kids coming up to me over and over, God, are you telling me that when I was born I was headed to hell? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But there's a positive, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the race Paul is referring to when he gives us these verses in 1 Corinthians is believers have the choice. Believers have made the choice. Sorry, let me correct that. The believers have made the choice and are set towards a race towards the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And so he's giving us an understanding. If we looked at 1 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 5, look at 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. You got to hear Paul. We've read these verses. We know these verses, but have we ever thought of them deeper? In a deeper matter, meaning, what is Paul trying to get these believers to understand, to have this eternal perspective, this, I call it the Bema state of mind? And why should we have it in this earthly life? If it's going to happen in the future, why is he describing it so that we may understand it earthly? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand, right? It's like, I always say this, I love it. And this may sound morbid. I don't mean to sound morbid, okay? But when you go see someone that's really sick, or someone's on their deathbed, right? Sometimes I love to hear their last words. What are their last words? There must be awesome words, right? You want to hear what departing words are. Paul is saying, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Therefore, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Then look at this. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. On that day, he will give me this reward. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So Paul is making this awesome point for the believers here left on earth to do God's will and God's work. I'm explaining something future event. But I pray it gives you a motive, a purpose in life to run a race as if you're passionately running to run with the ending goal, with the prize. I want to run to that prize. What's the prize? These crowns. These crowns at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema, Christ is going to look at me. He's going to evaluate. He's going to judge me on the way I live my life. Now pause. We're not talking about sin, right? He's talking to believers. Sin has already been paid for at Calvary. Sin, the judgment for sin has already been paid. So Paul, what are you talking to believers about? Oh, there's going to be an evaluation. My Savior will examine my life and say, I want him. I hope what he'll say, well done. Can you imagine that? He's going to say, well done. Paul is reminding us, hey, this is a mindset. Believers, don't separate your mind, your heart away from the false ideologies and philosophies of this world and take this mindset on. Take this goal in mind, the Bema state of mind, because we're running a race and one day we'll be before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and there will be this awesome evaluation. This awesome rewards. And we're going to turn around and just throw our crowns at him, right? But it's this mindset of, oh, wow. What will the Lord see in my life? Paul is reminding believers this is how you should live in. This is the mindset. I know, you know, we as Americans need to be very careful. If anything, this world is saying you need more pillows. You need more comfort. You need to buy more things to please your lusts and your desires. When you look at the persecuted church, I was actually on Jonathan's recommendation. I'm going through the book IMN. I'm actually going through this book talking about the persecuted church in the Middle East. And they have such a mindset of being found well before their Lord and Savior that whether anyone comes to take their life, their family, their wife, their daughter, whatever it may be, my Lord has already promised me reward. And I'm living my life like that. Paul is saying, this is the race. We're in this marathon. We're running. We're training. We're running to live this life accordingly to what God has called to. This is what it means, going for the gold. Right? When you train, or when these Olympic athletes train for a championship or for Olympics, are they thinking, oh man, I wish I come in fifth. Oh, I hope to just, you know, come in third or what? No, they're thinking of, I'm going for the gusto. I'm going for the gold. I'm going to train as if I'm already on that podium. That's the mindset Paul is saying. What are the elements to a race? And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. We'll go into it later. But there's competitors, right? Paul is saying you as believers are already in the race. You're already there. You're running. But how well are you running as a competitor? You see, the qualification was faith. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I started my run. I'm running. I'm running towards heaven. And then we see Christ as the judge. We see the start, and Paul gives us a mindset of the finish. But then, in all the verses that we're going to look at, God doesn't leave us blind. Do you understand that? God has not left us blind. God has given us the guidebook and the regulation, the rules for holy living, blameless living within the body of Christ as well as personally. How do we run? How do we live our lives accordingly? It's that Bema state of mind. And then we're going to talk about rewards and trophy. This is what Paul was saying in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The crown of righteousness. There's other crowns that we're going to look at. But specifically as an introduction, my thinking is, have you begun the race? Have we begun a race to even think about how well are we doing? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. If we're running a race, right, we want to get rid of, we want to tone our bodies or whatever it may be. We want to tone our life so that we may run a race well. The author here says, lay aside every weight and sin and have this mindset so that it reminds you you're living for the Lord. I had another young person come to me after one of the messages. And you could pray for him. He lives around King in that area. He says, in tears, he says, you know, I came to know the Lord in April of 2012. And I haven't been living the way the Lord wants me to live. He's saying this in tears. And he's broken. And he's a young guy. He's comes from a broken home. His mother has men coming in and out of the house constantly. And he's just broken. And he says, I'm not living the way the Lord wants me to live. And I said, well, is there anything you need to confess? Is there anything you need to get straight with the Lord? He says, yeah, I don't have a life outside of my broken home, and I'm in front of the computer all the time. I play video games all the time. I don't do anything else. And he says, I know I shouldn't be looking at certain things. He says, well, let's get it straight with the Lord. Let's ask the Lord for forgiveness. And the first thing we did was pray. He says, you need to ask the Lord forgiveness. Let's ask the Lord for forgiveness. And we stopped and we prayed. I said, okay, what's next? We need to think about your habits, right? We need to think about what makes you do what. And now I've started this accountability factor with him. And it's just like thinking, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Let us run. There's that idea of passion. There's the idea of living life with a purpose. You know, I know we have jobs. I know that we have responsibility. But I'm trying to train my mind and my heart. When I wake up, I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you have for me? In my prayer time, I'm like, Lord, who is it that you want me to speak to? It's a mindset. I'm in this race. I'm running to live gloriously, not for myself, but for the Lord. So therefore, I need to train how I do it. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, and I like this author saying, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When you look at light, right? When you keep your eyes focused at light, you don't generally see the shadows, right? But when you start to turn around and you see all the shadows, you get mesmerized by the darkness and the shadows that the light is illuminating. And therefore, we focus on all the evil around us, right? That's what the world would want us to focus on. But multiple times in Hebrews, and Paul saying, run this race, he's saying, I'm looking towards the judgment seat of Christ. I'm looking to Jesus as my hope, where my faith is lying, and therefore I will order how I should live my life. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, again, here's the example, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Can you imagine Christ? He knew what was going to happen, right? But didn't he have a picture of that one day? Looking at the cross, looking past the cross, and the joy that was going to be there, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What is our perspective when we think about it? Philippians 1, 27 through 30. This is a verse that we read, and this is becoming one of my favorite verses. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Do you hear the passion? Do you hear what Paul is trying to get believers' mindset into? See, we could be passionate about many things. Sports, wealth creating, respect creating, pride, a haughty heart. We could be passionate about different things in life. But Paul is saying if you're running a race as a believer, you're striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. I can't get the year right, but I think it's 2003. And from Northridge, we had a trip to China. And the trip was awesome. It was an awesome trip. And when I think of going on a mission trip, I'm always like, all right, Lord, use me as whatever you want me to use me for, right? So you go with this mindset of being a blessing unto others. I can't tell you how opposite that was in China. I met one brother. His name was Victor. Okay, I'm going to tell you about Victor. Victor is a very well-educated engineer, had a master's in engineer, okay? He was 30-something. He was on his way to having a good job and good life. So he said he wanted to meet us, right? Western Christians, he wanted to meet us. And he said, I want to meet and tell him my story. He says, but I have to meet you at this certain time in this certain place, okay? So we go secretly from wherever we were staying into, you know, this back room hotel room, okay? Because he knew the government was watching him. He says, listen, I had to do this so because I'm about to go out to the countryside to share the gospel. And I know the government's watching me. So he comes, we meet him. He only gave us his first name. He didn't want to get us in trouble if knowing his last name. He said, listen, this is my life story. I'm an engineer in all of this. I have life set up. He says, you know, when I found Christ, nothing else mattered to me. When I found Christ, nothing else mattered to me. And I want to tell others about my Lord. That's all. That's what his message was. He says, listen, I don't know if I'll see you again. I know I'll see you in heaven. But listen, I want to tell you this message. Nothing of this world matters because I want to stand firm in my call. I want to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. Do you know what happened? After we saw him, he went on the train and he was preaching in the countryside. 2 or 3 days later, we heard he was arrested. He was arrested, knowing it was coming. And what does Paul say here? For it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. With this perspective in mind, and the glory of Christ and the gospel message, you suffer. This is the mindset. Focus on it, believers. Think about it, believers. This should be your goal. This is going for the goal, the bema seat. Going for the gold, having this perspective in mind. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. You see, this is my perspective. This is my thought, okay? And we could, if you want to talk about it, debate it, whatever. I'll do that. But I believe in my own life, I was saved at 10 years old. I didn't engage in Christ until past college. Do you understand? I didn't engage in this race because I was clueless to it. I was living this world and all this world had for me. I had to get this thought that there's nothing else in this world but Jesus Christ and his name being known. That's what Paul is trying to tell believers. I made this really quick up, this really quick diagram, but just a thought. This is what Paul is saying. We're in the church age now, and there will be a rapture, right? And there will be a bema. There will be a judgment seat of Christ for believers, but not a judgment for sin. It's already been paid at the cross. And then we have the millennium year reign, but then there's the great white throne judgment. That's what this world needs to be worried about, right? That's what this world needs to be worried about. So we're given pictures, we're giving thoughts of this in the scriptures, but as believers, do we have this bema state of mind? What did Paul say? Let me go back to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. On that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Are we going for the gold? Are we going for this mindset so that we would order our lives accordingly? So I have some questions for you all. Will a Christian really have to give an account for his whole life? The answer is yes. On that day, when we're before Christ, everything is going to be laid out. Everything will be laid out. And Paul is saying, with that in mind, let us live our lives holy, just, blameless. The mindset of Christ and his gospel message being known. These are the things that we're worried about, that we should be concerned about, so that we would live our lives gloriously for his name. Another question I had, what really happens when I die? You know, I had many kids come up to me and say, does that really happen? Well, let's open the Bible. Let's read a few more verses. Don't take my word for it. Read the words of God's holy word, living word, active word. Let that convict you. Many, I can tell you, countless of kids were like, you telling me everyone's born at birth or destined to hell? I had one boy come up to me and he say, And they're processing it. They're young. They're processing it. They're saying, you're telling me if a baby dies young, they're going to hell? And so I had to talk about the age of innocence. I had to talk about these kind of... They're deep thinkers. Paul is calling us to be deep thinkers and to run our life passionately, going for the gold. Isn't it wrong to have a motive to gain eternal rewards? Is it wrong? Is it wrong that Paul gives us this eternal perspective and that will give us a motive for godly living? I don't think so. I don't think that's what Paul had in mind. Paul continuously gives us a future thoughts on certain days. And then specifically what we're talking about, he says, one day I've finished my race. I'm going to meet my Savior. And I'm telling you all this, not because I'm dying and that, oh, that's a good thought. But I'm telling you this so this will give you a motive and purpose for your living. To you, it will give you a motive and purpose for you to hold true, stand firm when the persecution comes. When you're thrown in the stadium of animals and the animals coming for your head, you will have the strength to have this mindset of Christ. I'm suffering for Christ. Again, it's not a pretty thought. And he's not saying this to lift himself up. He's saying, this is my mindset. Therefore, believers, are you thinking in the same frame of mind? You see, we've been so skewed from heavenly thought. What does it say? There's another verse that says, look to things above, right? Heavenly thought. Heavenly perspective. And when we have that in mind, it gives us a purpose, passion to live. I close with that in mind. How are we living? How are we considering these things? I'm going to flesh out a little bit more of this judgment seat of Christ, the bema, the crowns, the rewards, because there's certain crowns and rewards that are mentioned in Scripture for certain things like evangelism, suffering for the sake of Christ, all these things. And I pray, my hope and my prayer is that it give us a right perspective. Not even a right perspective, and this is what I like. This is just me, okay? It's crazy, I know. I told the kids that I'm crazy and I have different weird thoughts. But as I grow and I study the Scriptures more, I think more about where do my passions lie. Do my passions lie in the wrong idols, right? Do my passions, are my passions in line with my faith and what I understand from Scriptures? And am I engaged? Am I passionately running after them? In, I think it's 1 Timothy, he talks about an athlete competing. He's saying believers should have this athletic mindset to compete, to engage in the world around us. And not to be sleeping in the audience. Not to be in and not taking part in anything that the Lord is calling us to. But to be passionately engaged. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again, Lord, that we can have the opportunity, the privilege to look into thy word, Lord, and to give you all glory and praise, Lord, that you have given us your guiding words to live this life gloriously for thy name. Lord, help us to understand why did Paul give us this future thought, this future perspective. Lord, and how can it relate to me today? How now shall I live with this truth in mind? Lord, may we passionately understand these things. May we engage to live and to spread the gospel for thy name. Lord, help us to think about all that you bring us through, whether they're trials, they're tribulations, sickness, whatever it may be, Lord, into how do we see your hand through it all? And how do we see you working to lift up your name in this world? Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity. May you lead our hearts and our minds and help us to be actively engaged in studying your word and studying it deeper. We thank you and we lift all this up to your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ.